Welcome, everybody, to Lore and Poor. Tonight is another very special episode because we are joined with the one, the only, Tim Lanning from Greetings Adventurers and the Geekly Inc. fame, as well as the leading expert on the Gith. So, Tim, thank you so much. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
And of course, as we start every single Lore and Poor episode, we first need to ask, Tim, what are you drinking tonight?
I took a couple of weeks off of drinking due to starting Zoloft. So last week I started drinking a little bit of wine, a little bit of, just light alcohol. And this is the first weekend where I was like, all right, let's see what we can do. It's been it's been about a month. My liver has to be ready. So I didn't mean to do this, but my beautiful wife, Jennifer, bought Golden Monkey by Victory beer, which I believe is in the like double digits APV, ABV, ABV. So I had two of those and then one big beer, which I forget what it's called, but it's a local big beer with a cat in the name. It was very good. But then I switched for specifically, and I did that while I was playing Marvel's Spider-Man on the PlayStation 5. But since we were recording Lore and Poor tonight, I was like, you know what? I would like to drink a delicious Manhattan tonight. So what I do is I shake my Manhattans because I want them to be extra sippable, extra drinkable. When you shake, I did look up the lore of like shake versus stir, excuse me. And it's a little bit smoother. But that one could argue that it's actually less flavorful. So if you have a really good rye, you don't want to, shake. You want to pour. But that being said, the best rye for most of your Manhattans is Old Overhoed, which costs $14 wherever you are. I live in Boston. You can buy a giant thing for $14. You can buy a tiny thing for $14. The grocery store does not care. Old Overholt costs $14. That's a rule. So I am drinking a double shaken Old Overholt Manhattan, and I added the tiniest bit of orange bitters as I shook it. And again, the shaking makes it less like, you know, flavor, honestly, less flavorful because the ice is like, breaking and crystallizing. So it's melting faster. So it's more watered down. That being said, it's just as alcoholic, but it's, smoother. How about yourself?
Well, Tim, I feel like we could have a full separate Lore and Poor episode of you giving me alcoholic mixed drink advices because all I'm drinking tonight, as pretty much I'm pretty sure every single episode of Lore and Poor so far, is just what we call Dirty Dew, which is a Diet Mountain Dew with Kettle One vodka.
Holy shit. That sounds horrible.
And so yours sounds much, not only tastier, more scientific, just better in every effect.
Yeah, I got into making tiki drinks for a while, and tiki drinks are horrifically alchemical because it's just a fuck ton of sugar, a fuck ton of citrus, and a fuck ton of liquor. And you have to balance it or else it'll either be too sour, it'll either be too sweet, or it'll be too boozy. And the ideal way is to make it good. So playing with tiki drinks for a while kind of helped me get to the zone where I was like, okay, here's what we're doing. And, you know, there's like cookbooks that are like salt, fat, you know, whatever. That's the whole vibe of cocktails and drinks is like, we got the booze, we got the sugar, and we got the citrus.
Unfortunately, we do need to pivot a little bit.
Damn.
I'm sorry, Tim, because you're an expert on two fields. You're an expert on mixology.
Exactly two fields.
Exactly two fields. No more, no less. Mm-mm. So before I get into all of our questions that our audience are just dying to know about the Gith, could you give us, as the leading expert on the field of the Gith and its various factions, could you give us just kind of an overview, just maybe how they got their start to how they're doing these days, however broad you want to explain the history of the Gith? Could we start with that, please?
Certainly. I think the Gith fucking rule. The Gith are named after a girl named Gith, and that is so goddamn cool. I knew that there was Gith Zerai and Gith Yankee. I'm going to go ahead and say this up top. This is like, I prepared one joke, and here it is. The Gith Yankee are the Chads, and the Gith Zerai are the Virgins. You know those memes with the, like, the Chad, da-da-da, and the Virgin, da-da-da? Yeah. Like, Gith Yankee are like, let's fuck shit up and take over the every single plane. And then the Gith Zerai are like, what if we meditated, brother? And obviously, if you want to be like a lame class that uses wisdom, yeah, play Gith Zerai. But the fact that like their dichotomy is so explicit and they just hate each other because like one side wants to conquer the entire like existence and their side just simply wants to like stare at rocks and cross their legs. I think that is so funny. So, yeah, Gith are cool because they destroyed the Illithid Empire. They were slaves of the Mind Flayers, and then they rose up because one badass bitch named Gith was like, hey, let's go sicko mode. And then they destroyed the Illithid to the extent that, like, the Illithid had, like, a realm, right? And the Gith just were like, fuck you, man. We're gonna, like, whack-a-mole style you into the sewer. And then I had no idea that the Gith were that. Like, I always thought of the Gith as, like, the barnacles of the Illithid Empire. I had no idea that the Gith just, you know, curb-stomped Mind Flayers. Because you never think about, like, if you put a Gith in a dungeon, you're like, who gives a shit? If you put a Mind Flayer, that's a dungeon. I had no idea. It's so funny to me. The current groups are Gith Zerai and Gith Yankee. Gith Yankee are the Chads because they just want, they ride red dragons and they want to just fuck shit up. They want to take over the entire, they're like, hey, we got dealt a raw hand, so we want to conquer the entirety of existence. So material plane, they want to conquer Limbo, they want to conquer the Astral Sea, and then Gith Zerai, they're like refugees that ran away to this weird zone called Limbo, which is like boring chaos, is my understanding, which is very important because like there's so much about Gith that are like, you guys don't age, you live in a world that time simply doesn't exist. There are so few like, let's take a step back, friends. You know, wisdom is only for, like, clerics and some, you know, subclasses of other things. It's so funny that they, like, are like, hey, man, you got these two Gith classes. You got the one that has, like, what is it, intelligence and, like, strength or something like that, or dex? And he's like, hey, it's simply one point of wisdom. I have no idea what it is. I kind of want to look it up. But it's so funny. Like, I've looked it up before, and it's like, the Gith Zerai are such, like, you know, weak so-and-sos.
They really do like just meditating and hoping that all the problems just go away.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we live in hell, me and you, Adam. So, like, we obviously cannot complain, but like anyone that sits crisscross applesauce in order to solve their problems is obviously like not figuring things
that's
out.
That's not going to do it, right?
That's not going to do it at all.
You need a more measured approach to your problems and just meditating and sitting and hoping for the best solution is not going to do it, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that fucking rules is that... Okay, so I just looked up the difference between Gezerai and Githyanki in 5th edition. The difference is the Gezerai have a wisdom score of plus 2 versus the Githyanki who have a strength score of 2. Mm. Golly beans, what uses wisdom in these days?
I mean, you can make some saving throws pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to catch a rock, but you're going to be like, is perception? No, insight. Insight is what...
Insight, you can kind of read like, oh no, this gith looks like it's going to kill me real hard.
Oh no, don't do it. Yeah, no, if you want to sit back, listeners, and like do nothing, yeah, pick Gezerai. It's a hard word to say. Githyanki is a fun word to say.
Githyanki is really fun to say, Tim.
Yeah. And they're literally like, they're pirates. Like, you know, their whole thing is like, we got dealt a bad hand thousands of years ago. We literally have no idea where we come from. Are we accursed humanoids? Or... our own species. We're ruled by this horrific lich named Vlaketh. It's so funny. Like, they are this, like, strong, take-no-shit race who, like, oh, we'll never ask questions about what we're doing. I mean, Vlaketh says we need to bring bones to our throne and, you know, we need to take over the orange vendor. Because we all have scurvy, but, you know, I mean, simply that's what Vlaketh wants, and whatever Vlaketh wants is, like, that makes sense. Who am I to question Vlaketh? And it's, obviously very, very stupid, because, like, dog.
Yeah, it seems like they traded the Illithid overlords, pardon me, for Vlaketh to be their overlord. So it's like, yes. They're still not free, right?
You know, we crave our bars, you know, if we were truly free. They say that the astral plane has no time. So therefore, you are born as a baby gith. You don't age until you get dunked into the dunk tank of another plane. A chest of drawers does not get mildew until it gets dunked into another plane. So you just live in this weird, ever-existing zone, and you throw your children into, I guess, this what's a word that describes, like, sucking life out of someone?
This vacuum.
Yeah. But that's the gith, I think we can all agree.
So, yeah, they can't age unless they get put in some, because they're stuck in the shitty vacuum. So, if you're ready for it, I think we'll jump right into the Q&A kind of portion of the show where audience have these just boiling questions that they are dying to hear about the gith. So first off, it should be like a softball question. Just what do the gith look like?
The gith are... I almost said the gith are the only unracist D&D race that exists, but they're not, unfortunately. The gith are very tall, frail, and they have yellow to green skin. And, you can fill in the blanks there. They have long ears and they have like stubby noses. Their hair generates from black to gray to kind of ruddy.
Not many options there, are there?
Not many options there.
Not many options. How long does a gith? How long have they been around for?
Golly. I mean, anywhere from like an hour ago to 10,000 years due to the way that
it's really hard to judge the spacing of time in that astral plane.
Yeah, the astral plane simply doesn't work the same way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think based on, you know, the way that everything works, thousands of years. I think they're like an extremely old race. The fact that I think they kind of, I mean, this isn't funny. I mean, they set up the entire concept of Illithid and Mind Flayers. Of the fact that you're not like bonking into like an Illithid Mind Flayer mayor of Waterdeep is thankfully because of a Gith.
Yeah, it sounds like the Gith were like the saviors that like really stomped out those evil bad mind flayers.
Yeah, it's kind of, I had no idea that was the case.
So you vaguely touched on differences of Gith factions. What are the mm-hmm. What are those two factions that you were mentioning?
All right, so. All right, so we have Gith Yankee, which are the cool ones, and Gith Zerai, which are the lame ones. Gith Yankee are basically, they do everything cool. They're the pirates, they have strength, they have, I mean, they all have psionic abilities, which is really cool, Adam, but so, like, I guess one could say that kind of, like, salvages, you know, the various sides here. But, you know, Gith Yankee basically are angry at the lot they're dealt. So they want to conquer everything. And the Gith Zerai are like, you know what? Nah.
We're good. We're just gonna chill.
We're gonna go to Limbo. We're gonna go to, like, Kentucky. We're gonna go to Connecticut. And, you know, honestly, we're just gonna fucking chill, brother. Yeah, I mean, I have no idea how to make a Gazerai interesting. I feel bad for a non-cleric, or what's the other one? Like, ranger, I guess, uses wisdom? I feel bad for any non-wisdom user to, like, try to make an interesting Gazerai. You're literally just, like, if you don't start any campaign with, I shake the dust off of my character who's sat in the same place for like 400 years, I don't understand. I mean, that doesn't feel true to the story to me.
Now, Tim, speaking of these different factions, mm-hmm. why can't Gith be friends? Why do they hate each other so much? The Gith Zerai and the Gith Yankee.
Yeah. This is really stupid. I mean, this is like, where they're like, we gotta have lore to have lore. I mean, come on. We gotta have a wisdom class. We gotta have a strength. We gotta have lore. It's so fucking dumb. Like, you know how that, like, the whole, like, elves versus drow thing is whatever, but, like, it's so stupid. It's basically like, we want to do Gith genocide, and then I was like, maybe we shouldn't. It's like, fuck you. It's so dumb. It's so bad. Like, I'm obviously making fun of Gith Zerai, but they're at least, they're the smart ones. They're the, like, we can just chill. You know, we beat the Mind Flayers. That's kind of a big deal, right? No, fuck you. It's so stupid. It's so bad. It's, like, the laziest shit on the planet. Like, they literally, the lore is literally that, like, if they see each other, they want to fight to their death. It's so stupid. It reminds me of going to Vietnam and just chatting with the folks there. And it was like, oh, wow, this must be really weird for you. I'm like, no, it's not at all. Like, yeah, some of our grandparents are, like, uncomfortable with each other, but they don't give a shit. So in my mind, the Gith Yankee are the winners of said Vietnam War conflict. I'm from America. And the Gith Zerai are the not so much, because they're the only ones that seem to have a stake. I don't want to give them a lot of props because their whole, I don't know, man, it totally sucks. The way that it's written is like the Gith Yankee just want revenge on the great creator, so they want to, like, conquer everything. There's no middle ground that's cool. They both suck. If they made Gith Zerai like all right, I know we're gonna have to, like, buy a tavern or, like, beat the shit out of, like, a capitalist. No, the way they set it up is like Zerai is like, you know what, we got a bad hand, so we'll simply not play. And they get thinking, like, we got dealt a bad hand, we'll simply cheat, and we'll kill everyone. It's so stupid. It's so bad.
Well, just to add a little bit of levity to the conversation, just really, just kind of, you know, just kind of make it a little bit more casual, because obviously the Gith Yankee, the Gith Zerai, it's obviously a pretty just brutal history between the two.
Yes.
But
yes,
if we're going to just take a step back, Tim, as you, one of the leading experts in the field, what? You obviously know everything about the Gith, Yankee, and Gith Zerai.
And otherwise, yeah.
And otherwise. What's a typical first date look like for the Gith?
A first date?
First date, yeah. First date.
Okay, yeah, I mean, so yeah, here you are. I'm gonna do two, you know, obviously.
Oh, two, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's kind of how they work. Gith Yankee, the first date is, you know, you guys shake hands, you're in the astral plane. Vlaketh has, like, deemed you guys to be appropriate stations. You know what? You look over the dreadnought field, the horrid wastes, and again, I don't want to make the Gith Yankee seem so cool, but then you just kind of have a conversation, and then the conversation is like, do you want to fucking smash? And then, you know, based on, you know, what they say on each side, and, you know, the cool thing about each side of the Gith is that they're like, you know, we don't have time, we don't have gender, we don't have sexuality. So it's just kind of like, you know what, I'm asexual, so you know what, you smash there, I'm gonna be fine. Or it's like, I'm gay, let's do this. So like, they smash. And then, you know, it's kind of the exact same thing on the Gith Zerai, but it's like much, much, much slower. It's very much like, if you've seen the hit program, The New Girl? Wait, who's Zooey Deschanel?
Yes, yes, New Girl. Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so like her prom episode from that hit show, it's basically that, but the Gith Zerai constantly are like, hey, are we chill? And it was like, hey, come on, bro. We know we have tacit consent, all this other thing. We want to hang out. Let's have fun. And then every 14 seconds is like, I'm going to, can I kiss you? Can I kiss you? It's like, hey man, it's I want to kiss. I want to kiss you. It's that. And that's the only difference is like, they're all about like pretty much everything due to the fact that like, you know, they live in a realm of no laws, which I think is kind of fucking sick actually.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of feeds in a little bit to this next question, because this next question I think is going to depend kind of on how well a first date goes, maybe, how do the Gith Yankee and the Gith Zerai, just the Gith in general, like, how do they smell?
That's a great question. I gotta tell you, Adam, I think I'm gonna go on the limb here. Some things I'm saying right in tonight are factual. Some things I am taking creative liberty. I gotta tell you, I think they smell like nothing. I think there's this weird sort of like
anti-smell.
Yeah, it's like sometimes you smell the scent of ozone. The fact that there's so much about them is like time doesn't exist. I think, you know, yeah. I think if you get really close to them and you get a big whiff, they smell like a freshly cleaned but without like a specific cleaner leather chair. They smell like a leather so take a leather chair and vacuum seal it in a room, right? That's what they smell like. They smell like the basic scent. But like, you know, they don't smell bad. I mean, they're from a place that's like such a vacuum there, and so forth and so on.
So it's kind of like when a hunter is going out hunting and they don't want to smell, so they use that anti-smell soap. So they rub their bodies down and they make themselves smell like nothing.
If I was a Gith, I'd be like, what the fuck are you saying right now? That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I don't have a smell. Because their noses are pretty just like
they got big old holes.
What?
Yeah, they got big old holes.
Yeah, they just got bigger holes. So they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. What do I smell like? I don't smell like shit.
Let me just tell you that I made another shaken Manhattan, and then I added just a whisper of coffee to it. It is so good. I found that adding just a whisper to of coffee to whiskey-based drinks are very, very good.
Tim, do you think sound like the Gith Zerai, the Gith Yankee? It sounds like they're all business, but surely they have some kind of hobby when they're not off plundering and or murdering a game.
Adam, I you know, I'm a guest here, but you sound like a fucking idiot. Like, they simply don't. I mean, it's, again, I'm a guest here and I don't want to be rude to you. And I hope your listeners don't, like, feel bad about me, but that was, like, really, really fucking stupid, the thing you just said there. You know, the whole point is they're, like, both inertia and the opposite of inertia, the existence, right? They are a Large Hadron Collider response to the Illithid. So you have on one hand the folks who simply want to sit on rock, as Luke Skywalker did on the best Star Wars show. Have you guys done the Star Wars?
Yeah, I'm big into the Star and the Wars.
And Last Jedi is the best one, we all agree?
Yeah, it's a good one. Best one.
Say it.
It's the best one.
No, say Last Jedi is the best Star Wars.
Last Jedi is the best one.
Thank you. As the Last Jedi, you know, when Luke Skywalker, you know, throws out his essence, so to speak. Well, you know, it is what it is. So you have your Zerai that kind of do that. What was the question?
Do they have any hobbies?
You fucking idiot. Of course they do. You know, your Gith Yankee have hobbies. Your Gith Zerai don't. Your Gith Yankee hobbies are net weaving.
Oh, okay.
They are astral planarizing. It's you know, the Gith Zerai kind of just hang out. Like, you know, I think their biggest hobby is running, and in 40% of that I respect. The other 60% I don't. But as a, you know, scholar here, I obviously don't want to put my biases here, and I do apologize because I think there are some biases that I have presented previously.
Okay, so the hobby is obviously net weaving and running away.
Yeah, I mean, it's one side are pirates and one are just kind of like...
are shit.
Don't do stuff. Yeah.
They suck.
Your words, not mine.
This one's more of a personal question of just...
oh, crap.
It's from all these dang children's songs. So why did Gith Yankee Doodle go to town riding on a pony? And why is this such a big deal? And why were there so many goddamn children's songs written about... Old Gith Yankee Doodle went to town, riding on a pony. Yeah.
And again, I'm a guest here, so take this with a grain of salt. You fucking idiot. I mean, it's pretty clear the whole thing is... when you have a race that exists outside of time, Adam, I want to lead you to this water.
Okay, lead me. I'll drink a moment.
It's... what? The whole thing is, where do you think we get that from? We get it from, and this was another, when I started this, I said I had one joke prepared. I have two jokes prepared. The Gith are the QAnon of D&D races. And you know what? I kind of thought I had a better... jumping off point for this, the second joke, but I don't, and here we are. Adam, this question you're asking, kind of like, what comes first, the chicken and the egg, and you know, what happens from there and the other thing. again, the broad term of the Gith, and all of you listening to this obviously are incorporating all of this into your broader lore. The whole thing is that they have existed outside of time, and you can do whatever you want from that. So, you know, they could be 3-year-old babies, and then you could, you know, deal with that. So it could be, you know, 1,000 years ago and XYZ happened, or it could be, you know, 2 years ago to them. They have no concept. But all that being said, you know, they broadly speaking are a long lived society. They're not humans, even though some people think they're humans. And you know what? I'm going to apologize to you real quick because some people do think they're humans. And I was pretty mean to you, based on, because I just to be clear, I don't think they're humans or humanoids or whatever. So I mean, maybe you did your own research and that was very rude of me. And if Adam, if you could forgive me, that'd be really chill.
I can. I forgive you, Tim.
But yeah, you know, it's the whole thing of like, if I could get serious a second, the whole thing of like, just broadly speaking, I mean, we've said it a few times tonight. The whole thing is like, both Gith, Githyanki, Gizerai kind of exist in this, the astral plane where time does not touch them. Does that mean that you cannot better yourself? No. Does that mean that, you know, Adam, between me and you, I was like, what degrades? Ice cubes degrade? No, they don't degrade. They melt. Shit. My brain doesn't work. Adam, what degrades? Cars degrade, right?
Yeah, cars definitely do. Spaceships?
No, not spaceships. Easy things, like printers, right? Cars and printers. Oh,
printers degrade so damn fast.
Yeah, we're talking... All right, you know, if you have an automobile, a Ford Explorer or Xterra or whatever, you know, if it exists in the astral plane, there is zero mileage on it, right? So the fact that like one of those people ran away and the other one didn't is just so baffling. And I feel like every single question you ask me, I just turn it into like, why are the Gizerai so much cooler than the Githyanki? And I apologize, because that's not why you invited me out. You invited me on here to be a neutral third party. And I lied to you, Adam. And I lied to you. I was like, you know, I'm totally a third party. I don't give a shit. Whatever. I think both these sides are cool. And I didn't do, I want to tell you right now, I absolutely am not, you know, objective. I think Githyanki are cooler than Gizerai.
Hey, can I tell you? I agree. I think Githyanki are, miles above the Gizerai. And speaking of, just before we wrap things up, one question before the final question, so the pre-final question, I guess,
penultimate, please,
the penultimate, I did want to ask, what is your favorite festival or holiday that the Githyanki or the Githyanki, probably Githyanki though, I'm assuming,
Githyanki.
Yeah, what is your favorite festival or holiday that they have?
Okay, yeah, I'm going to give a quick B because I assume everyone's going to take out their pencils. So just give it a quick beat real quick.
Yeah, okay.
Take out your pen and pencils.
Okay.
Wow, it's really cold outside. I think it's going to snow. Where are you from again?
I'm in Cincinnati and it's snowing right now.
Oh, really? Jeez. Okay, so, The biggest festival of the Gith, is like our Independence Day, right? It's Cinco de Mayo, right? Because the whole thing is like when they overthrew the Mind Flayers. You know, I personally went to college with a lot of folks who celebrated like Gith Independence Day, and all they did, you know. This sucks. I mean, this isn't funny. They bought like, you know, a lot of port wine and they drank it and whatever. It's like, come on, man. That port wine is not Elder Blaine blood, you know? Like, I get what you're doing, but like, it's not Elder Blaine, Elder Brain blood. But you know, Gith and the Primordial Plane, Waterdeep and Baldur's Gate and stuff like that. Yeah, obviously in like what we would call August, celebrate Freedom Day, and then they drink, you know, watered down wine and things like that, and you know it's meant to represent Eldraine blood. But that being said, like, it's been hundreds of years, and so it's kind of, you know, been co-opted, and the whole thing, you know, everyone throws on like paper mache hats and like throws on just like food coloring, and that's totally not the whole thing. And you know, like, I haven't played a Gith personally, but like a lot of my Gith friends are like, that sucks. It fucking sucks when you do it that way. So,
I mean, yeah, I think that the Gith holidays and festivals are definitely holidays that should be celebrated. I mean, the Freedom Day of not only the Gith Yinki or the Gith Sarai, but just the overall Gith Freedom Day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. They beat the Mind Flayers, the Illithid, their captors. That is a holiday that should be celebrated by all, and not just because whether you're on Gith Yinki terms or Gith Sarai terms, they overthrew the Mind Flayers, which if they never did that, your life, my life, everybody's life in the multiverse of the D&D lore would be vastly different now and probably overrun by Illithid overlords. So I think we should all be celebrating those Gith holidays and Gith festivals.
You know what? You're actually right. There's a few things you had wrong, but like broadly speaking, you're totally right.
Tim, before we let you go, I do, just for the sake of our audience or for everybody's knowledge, whether they're playing D&D or DMing D&D, whatever anybody's experience is, what is one thing before we go that no one but you, Tim, knows about the Gith, but our audience needs to know?
Okay. So, the coolest thing about the Gith is that they are astral pirates. I mean, we all know that, right? Mm-hmm. That's like the number one thing. So this is less of an interesting answer and just more kind of... Dude, like, it's so interesting. To me, like, an interplanetary, like, planet meaning, like, realm, I guess, Space Force is so cool. The fact that they can like rip a hole into the multiverse and attack your players, that is so cool to me. I think like if you pre-plan it and you like seed it, it will not feel like Deus Ex Machina. I honestly think, Adam, that like the Gith are the most outside of the Primordial Plane antagonists, so to speak, that you can call upon, because that's such a cool thing. And if you ever have to go anywhere, DMs, like, okay, you're in the Primordial Plane, you need to go to the Shadowfell, or you need to go to Greyhawk, or you need to go to Eberron, you probably need to go through the Astral Plane. Therefore, probably the Gith are going to fight you. And that is such a cool thing. And I wish I had a funnier, drunker answer, but like, the Astral Plane is such a cool and fun place to fight in.
It really is, especially, I really like the fact that, like, no, it's not that no time passes through the Astral Plane, but, like, you don't age, and your body doesn't, like, change from when you got into the Astral Plane, so that's a really fun thing to play off of. Like, if you gotta poop, and you go into the Astral Plane, you always gotta poop.
You always have to poop. It's a constant poop situation. Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand how it works for, like, a person who, like, just exists within the Astral Plane. Like, to me, that just feels quite a bit a lot.
Yeah, I don't know how that would really work, but obviously the Astral Plane is a full different topic, a different episode that we will dive deeper into.
I am not an Astral Plane expert. I'm a Gith expert, to be honest. So
Dustin and Johnny are astral plane experts, and they they've already recorded an episode with me in episode maybe two, depending on how I release these things. But
Adam, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, ask me one question. I have a bunch.
This is funny to me because, like, I had a friend in college, and this is a real story, not like some bullshit podcast shit. He was not a biology major, but like someone who took like hyper advanced biology classes, and he would always ask, what's better between the two, like cells or whatever. So Adam, what's better between the Gazera and the Gazyankee? Which is better?
I mean, coming into this episode, before we press record, Tim, I would have said Githzerai. Because it seemed like the passive, the more intellectual, would edit in that word correctly, of the two. But you absolutely sold me on the Githzerai being just the badasses. The absolute just, you know, we had eons stolen from us.
Yes.
As slaves to the Illithid. Yeah, we deserve getting this shit back. And now we're going to go plunder until we feel that we got those eons back. And I think you sold me on the fact that the Githzerai, I mean, sorry, the Githyanki.
Githyanki.
Are the greater of the two. And I am now on Githyanki terms instead of the Githzerai terms. You have sold me.
That is super great to hear, actually. Because that's what I agree with.
That's the right answer? I did it? I did good?
No, that's the right answer. Yeah, that totally is the right answer. Totally.
Tim, you have shed such a great light on not only Githzerai, Githyanki, but the Gith culture in general. So thank you so much for being on the show. When you're not just absolutely bombarded with questions about the Gith, as you being a leading expert on the field, where can people find you?
On Twitter at Tim Lanning. That is probably the best place to follow me. If you listen to podcasts and you like Naruto, the anime, check out Naruto Revuto. It's a really good podcast. I think you'll like it. If you enjoy the way that humans interact with a relationship advice on the internet, listen to Dear Internet. Also, I am a part of the award-winning D&D actual play podcast called Greetings Adventurers. Please check it out. I love you.
And Tim, thank you. Seriously, from me, Adam, thank you so much for joining on this show, Lauren Parr. And really can't wait to see more of the Greetings Adventure show. Can't wait to see more of what you've got in store. And remember, listeners, that half of what you've heard tonight is probably correct. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You scared me by walking away with your headphones on.
Oh, yeah, I got those.
I was like, oh, shit. You're about to pull your whole computer away.
A Majestic Goose Podcast.
Honk.